I was one of my things. One of my aim was that, you know, having come to Los Angeles, I was thinking we should have like someday a sermon, like at least one day sermon in a month, so that the prayers that we recite, if we have taken the pratimoksha vow, you know, we have to repair our vow. It's not good to keep. We say the dead body of our broken vow. You know, if we fracture or if we break our vow, we have already fallen from our vow, and we don't have any vow in our. And then every day, we accumulate bad karma of keeping that behind our mind. It's in your mind somewhere hidden, but still you're trying to ignore. Your mind is never improving, because see, it's already there in your mind. So, your mind will never improve because you're taking for granted. And this is the training of the mind. So therefore it's very important to confess and to purify as well. When we have done that, and this is also clearly, this is how we understand the practice of Vajrasattva. When we come to the tantric, we need to understand in that manner too. So therefore I was thinking, we should do like at least one day this practice for, we can also do together, some who have monk's vows or nun's vows or pratimoksha vow with layman's vow, and who have bodhisattva's vow. The bodhisattva's vow, it's very important because we have given rise to cultivate, we have made that commitment to bring benefit to all beings, but then in our mind we have lots of hatred toward others. We have lots of anger, we have ill will toward others. We have lots of wrong views. In bodhisattvas, those bodily actions and speech, they have little bit of flexibility, but there's no flexibility with the three thoughts or three virtue or the three non-virtue of the mind. You can never actually keep, you should never have that in your, there's no excuse for bodhisattva practice. So bodhisattva, if you are a bodhisattva, you should never give rise to, ill will, hatred, and, and wrong views. That should always, we always cultivate, always, the opposite of those ill will is to always be loving, and then instead of hatred, we always have to be compassionate. Instead of wrong view, we always have to have faith, devotion, and, faith, devotion, and, diligence in our practice. So those three.
Is there a name for dead body of a broken vow? Like a phrase in Tibetan?
Dom,
bro.
Dom. Dom means vow. Dom. Dom. Ro is body, corpse. Dom, ro.
So it. Ru.
Ro is dead body. Yeah.
Dead body and live body is.
Lu.
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 Okay, so ro.
Ro.
Okay.
It's very important that when we practice. So, most of the time, in the West, I've been here now almost 10 years in America, and we. We always try to look for the highest teachings. The highest teachings, they have a lot of blessings, really a lot of blessings. But then that blessing, we have received lots of blessings, but we have to bring that blessing to our mind. But these are the foundations and how we actually always keep those blessings, never separated from our mind, is because we keep through this training. So then the training of concentration comes based on that one, then how concentrated we are in our, focused in our practice, our moral discipline, our commitment. That samadhi, that's the training of samadhi comes there. Samadhi. Then if you're not focused in that one, then we are already distracted. How can samadhi come? And then wisdom, then third is the training of the wisdom. So let alone wisdom, samadhi is not there. So So these are the trainings, so you have to understand in this way. Yeah.
So when you were talking about breaking the vows, and then it becomes a dead body that just goes in the back of your mind, I mean, can you... I don't normally think of it like that. I think, okay, oops, I broke my vow. I'm going to try and keep it going forward. I don't just say, all right, well, it's broken, so forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but until I renew them again. I just try and say, oh, that was a really stupid mistake, and I'll try not to do it again, without actually officially sitting down and saying and taking the vow again.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds as though once you've broken it, it's kind of trashed.
There are, in fact, here I'm saying... broken vow, they are so depends what are the vows one have taken. Mm-hmm. So usually we have taken I'll not kill,
mm-hmm.
I'll not steal, I'll not commit adultery, except for the tantric practitioner, then I'll not engage in any substance that intoxicates, like that. So or let's say not killing, not lying, not stealing, like that. So then there are things that have to come together. You have to have the intention. I want to actually kill. That intention has to be present. And then you're going to kill that person, like I'm going to kill David. And then, you know, unmistaken object that you actually are going to kill. And in that quest of killing David, your knife went somewhere else and killed somebody, that does not count again. So that intention, you know. And that actual engaging action now. So third is the action. And fourth is the completion of that action. So David's life, that he's completely dead, you know, that he's out of breath. So like that, four things. So when we do that, then your vow is completely... lost, you have lost.
With all four.
All four. Similarly like that, then we have lying, so you know, oh, I want to lie. To who? To that person. You know, then you lie. That person hears that words of yours. So then your vow is, you're broken, the main pillars of your vow are already broken. How can your vow stand now? See? It's already collapsed. So this is what it means by. So then your practice does not happen. Then you are in fact, you become even worse than an ordinary person. Because the ordinary person who has not taken vow, you know, whatever they do, they are responsible for their actions. A person who has taken vow, they are responsible for their actions. But a person who has taken vow, are in fact, they are more responsible because they have already taken vow, see? So not only they accumulate that bad actions of doing something bad, but actually they are accumulating that action of breaking the karma and breaking the vow. So we, as practitioners, we in fact multiply our actions. So then the question comes here in this is now we say in that vow that three kinds of people. One who do not have vows, meaning that person, you know, the moment you say I will kill. But that word, you have to be careful, because if you are saying in front of a stupa or a Buddha tanka or a picture of a Buddha or a, you know, like some scriptures in front, then you are actually making that vow in front of that. Say, I will kill. So from that moment, you have already cultivated that domin, it's called that wrong vow. You have already cultivated wrong vow. Until you die, every day action, speech is going to be negative, because you have, you know, see, this is the fruit, you have planted the negative seed. So any action that you do, even that positive action turns into, because it's now contaminated with poison, everything becomes poison. So this is somebody now having a negative vow. And somebody with a vow is like the monks and nuns or layperson who have actually given rise to or have made that commitment in front of a teacher, like taking refuge vows. So then that's somebody who has a vow. So. And then there are some, they're called bardom, meaning they don't have vows. Like ordinary people, they have not made that vow. You know, when they do good actions, it will bring positive actions. When they do bad actions, that will. So these are the three kinds of people, or three kinds of people, how, you know, that in the mind, how they have motivated, how they have given rise to that vow. So like, for example, armies, they have this domin. Domin means one who has, because I don't know where they have to do here, but in olden times,
domin means what?
Domin, one who has a wrong vow. Mm-hmm. They're like those armies, you know, when they join the army force, they have to make this oath that if need be, that you will even kill your father and mother. Mm. They make that vow. And it's called nakchu. They have to drink that water of commitment. You know, they have made that vow. From that day onward, these people, every action, every thought, every whatever they do, their action is very bad. So these are like, so, you know, like we also say, like some, there are some butchers, you know, they have that vow that they will kill. So this is what happens to them. So
what is not killing vow? And you know fully well that you take that vow, but you know, particularly driving around here, that we're going to kill lots of bugs, no matter what. I mean, certainly one, if not, you know, hundreds a day. And you're taking that vow, and obviously your intention is not to kill them, so you're not meeting that criteria. But you also know perfectly well that that's very likely. Mm-hmm. So.
Every time you clean your windshield.
Yeah, I mean, every time you walk around almost, you know, there's probably unseen.
So
why would you take the vow in the first place?
The vow is, in fact, you're taking so that you don't intentionally kill. Mm-hmm. There's no way for you to, if you have to, you know, as far as possible, not, you know, if you know that, then you have to see that you will not drive. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to see you do not drive. Mm-hmm. But then that's unavoidable. You know, you have to drive. So then again, from it comes to a different perspective, from a Mahayana point of view, you can also. But here at this point, here it's, we are saying we will not give those four things, our intention, by actually engaging. So we don't have the intention that today I will kill thousands of bugs. So at least then our karma, see, it's the habit of our mind. When we don't kill in that way, we have not printed that it's thought in our mind. I'm responsible for killing the bugs, but in my mind I have not registered that I have killed so many bugs, see. So my body, of course, because of my body, I killed that many bugs. My body will actually have to pay back that karma, but my mind will actually not experience that because I didn't intentionally kill.
The mind won't experience the suffering?
Mind won't experience actually that. Yeah, mind won't experience here, meaning your body will be, then, you know, of course, that body is in your mind, of course, you know, but actually physically. Physically, you have to pay back
whatever
life,
form
life
your body
form,
takes.
Mm-hmm, yes,
whether it's
but your mind, but your mind. In fact, you not experience so much pain because you didn't actually intend that one.
But then, once you do start to become aware that every time you go out in your car, you are killing bugs, and yet you have the intention of taking your car out. And you're aware that you're going to kill bugs.
that's the training now. Mm-hmm. This is that whole training of the mind, I say, see? Mm-hmm. A practitioner who has made that vow, in fact, he or she has more karma. Mm-hmm. this is the training talk, but for as of now, we should not engage ourselves. You know, we should not have that intention that I will kill. You know, I will not. You know, this is unavoidable. I, you know, don't know how to comment on this one, but you know, Buddha Shakyamuni's time was easy because, you know, he didn't have to drive like that. You know, but, but again, Buddha Shakyamuni, this he had this, like summer months, there are lots of bugs outside. That's why he had the, you know, summer retreat or the summer Vaishak is like the summer retreat they do. So in Vaishak, they have monks and nuns, they have to stay in a boundary so they don't go out. So that they don't trample over, so like that. So then now we have to see now, as so you don't drive carelessly if you don't need, you know, if you have to then. But again, on that one, the, you know, it, when you talk about karma, there are many different karma. One is, now we were saying, you actually have intentions to do that, and you engage. Then your karma, you actually, the fruition of that one, intention and engaging everything, you're experiencing very strongly. If you don't have, you experience lightly. Okay? And again, on that karma, there are two kinds of actions. One is called the engaging action, or that projecting action. And the third one is called the completing action. So projecting action is what I am engaging now. So I actually hurt somebody physically, or I hit somebody with my hands, something like that. But after a few days, I came to understand or realize that, oh, what I did was not good. Then I regret. I complete my action at that moment now, see? That's the completing action. My actions, although was negative, but my concluding action, you know, I regretted having done so. So I complete my action. I completed my action with a positive action. So even if it was a good bad action, I make that action positive.
So your regret is purified.
Yes. And then that works the other way too. So if you did good actions now, if you gave somebody money and, you know, help or shelter, all these things, and few years later or few months later or not some days later, you regret, oh, I shouldn't have done good things to him or her. See, now at that point, you are concluding with a bad action. So this is the training now again. So therefore, now when we have done that one, so you purify your concluding actions. So you have to be mindful in that way. So today you drive on, you know, you drive, you killed. But then you say, oh, and I didn't intend to do that. Then you purify. So that's why we're saying, you know, we should do that confession practice.
I mean, the mind is doing everything. It's conceiving.
Yeah, the mind. This.
Right. So when you're purifying, you're actually involved in the recognition of your own mind's action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something outside of your mind. You know, it's mm-hmm. you're thinking, oh, I'm regretful. So my mind is actually regretful of its own mm-hmm. ability to make an action.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how that works or doesn't work. I mean, you know, when you contemplate, when you say, because that gets into the training part, the mm-hmm. actual
yeah.
sitting down, practicing, you know, analyzing or absorptive meditation. I guess I'm talking personal practice. Sometimes I see very dualistic, it's mm-hmm. objective, it's out there. How can my regret actually change an action that's already happened? You know,
mm-hmm.
how can that be? So I see it from a separation point of view.
Yeah.
And then, but really, on a deeper level, the mind is recognizing its own regret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the sutra, we have to understand that who is this creating karma? Who is this creating karma? Now, it is that who believes that I have this form, or whoever believes that has a form. So that's why the karma is in relation or independent or is in is dependent on that believer. So that's why the mind or that I believe that I am Kempasanam, and then I do all these things from the moment I was born, or from many lifetimes I have this experience. I believe I am me, I go. And this belief or this believer is sole responsible person or being that I'll experience whatever. This understanding is one right view of understanding how we go. So this is the training. And then when you come to Mahayana practice, like Mahayana practice of seeing the mind actually, what is this mind that I grasp to that it's real? But then this mind, although it's unreal, yet it can function like a dream. Like last night in my dream, I dreamt I was a tiger was chasing me, or I was in an accident or some kind of thing. Yet, when you see that, the dream was unreal, but that moment, from the moment I started to dream and from till the moment my dream ended, it appeared so real. So like that, you see from the Mahayana point of view, unreal. So mine too, like that. It's unreal, but because I believe it's real, functions how I wish to function. So like that it goes. So Mahayana point of view, then of course that is again more on concentration and view again. That view is again a little more higher than based on the subtleties of how we abandon positive, how we abandon negative actions, or how we abandon non-virtue and cultivating virtue and all. And then we form our mind habit of always thinking positively, always having, experiencing positive things like that, always trying to be helpful like that. So then that view is given in that way.